0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we head into the penultimate weekend of the World Cup break. Ange Postecoglou says he's more concerned with what he's having for dinner tonight than Rangers' managerial change, but he did praise Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's record. The Celtic boss keeps his cards close to his chest on the potential signing of Alistair Johnson, but says they want to be stronger after the window. And another big weekend in the Championship, but there should have been no heading of the ball in final training sessions today as new safety guidelines come into play. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Cammy Bell and Hugh Evans.
I think Ange's reference to his dinner will be taken as an insult by the Rangers fans, but regarded as a laugh by the Celtic fans. I do not think it's an insult in any way, shape or form. That's just an Angeism. He has a different approach to the football world from the rest of the people in this country, probably. So he'll worry about Michael Beale when it's time to worry about Michael Beale when Celtic play Rangers. Cammy?
Yeah, I don't think it'll change the mindset of Celtic at the moment in driving position. And as you say, Hugh Ange is a very different animal when it comes down to the way he talks about things and the way he analyses football. So he'll not be worried about Rangers at the moment. He'll be worried about his team coming back and hitting the ground running again.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So why not get in touch and round off your week by sharing it with Cammy Bell and Hugh Evans. We are going to hear those comments from Ange Postecoglou about the Rangers managerial change. In terms of his own team, he did talk about, well, I was going to say he spoke about Alistair Johnson. He sort of body swerved the Alistair Johnson specifics, but it does look like that move is getting very, very close. So Celtic fans, what are you thinking about the potential for that move and any other transfer changes that you want to see happening in the January window as we move towards that period? Rangers fans, the reaction to Michael Beale, it's just going to keep going, isn't it, until we've got actual hard evidence of what he can do, what he can produce, and that won't happen until Thursday the 15th of December. So this week's very much about being reacting to the appointment and looking at what comes next and what sort of changes he should make and what he does with Morelos and Kent and all sorts of forward-looking plans. So let's get in touch on those if you want. It is a big weekend in the Championship as well. 0141 951 1025. If we've got any fans of Championship teams out there, we would be delighted to have you. And it should be a good weekend, Hugh. We've enjoyed shining the spotlight on the lower leagues when we don't often get the chance to pay them the attention they deserve.
Yeah, Queen's Park and Hamilton are on our patch tomorrow. Queen's Park moving very well under Owen Coyle. John Rankin fighting manfully to keep Hamilton in the division. Lots of good games there. We thoroughly enjoyed last week. Cove Rangers, Partick Thistle tomorrow. Partick Thistle dealing with external strife, fans who want to sack the board. But Ian McCall has to keep going, gathering points and prove that they are not out of the promotion race.
And of course, Cammy Bell, the World Cup still rages on. Any chance of any of the teams trying to look like they really are going to put their foot down and go and win this thing? Everyone seems to be dropping surprising points here or there.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Again, we're playing a World Cup that's in basically the winter, which we're not used to. I think you look at the so-called smaller nations, I think all of them have improved. Most of the players are now playing at big clubs, or these countries have players playing at big clubs in Europe, so they're used to the size and the occasion of the World Cup. So yeah, I don't think anyone's made a real major stamp on it. Brazil have looked good, France have looked good. I think if France had their full squad and their players available that they could have had without the injuries, I think they would have been a real force. I still think they will be there or thereabouts, but Brazil are looking decent at the moment.
Well, we'll maybe get to that a bit later on. I think we've got much more important business right here at home. But if you do want to share your thoughts later on, of course, since we last spoke, Germany have crashed out of the World Cup, joining fellow big guns like Belgium, I suppose Uruguay, not quite on the same scale, but they've dropped out today as well. So we'll maybe get to that a bit later on. But football still rages on here at home, despite there being no top flight action. So why not pick up the phone and let us know? 0141 951 1025. Let us know what is on your mind. Let's hear a bit from Ange Postecoglou. I think it's the first time He's spoken to the press here since the break. He was talking about various things, and as you would expect when there's been a big managerial change in Glasgow, he was asked about that as well. But he says he's paying no interest to what's going on at Rangers, but did praise the work that Giovanni van Bronckhorst did at the club.
Yeah, look, on the scale of things that have been on my mind over the last probably 2 weeks, I reckon that's registering below what I'm having for dinner tonight. It just doesn't really come on my radar. I mean, what opposition clubs do and with their managers, any opposition club is of no real interest unless we're playing them in the next game, and then you kind of take more of a note then. But beyond that, no real interest. You know, from my perspective, Gio, I thought was, and he's a fantastic manager. He's got a great record in Holland. He's got actually a great record here in Scotland too. You know, if you look at his year, he won a trophy, got us a European final. So I got no doubt he'll be successful wherever he goes again. But in terms of me and like my thoughts on what other clubs do, zero interest. I've got enough on my plate.
It's really quiet later on. We could throw it out here and ask what the Celtic fans think Ange Postecoglou is having for dinner tonight. Yeah. That might liven up the phone lines a bit. But like the first comments, that sort of the cheeky one, if you like. And then he actually goes on to praise the job that Giovanni van Bronckhorst did. I don't think it's any secret. They two got on quite well, didn't
absolutely.
They? They were pictured and
I think
talking
they got on,
to each other and all the rest
I think
of
they
it.
They got on too well. They got on too well for people. Celtic and Rangers fans are edgy about relationships between the people at the other club. And there was a famous photograph of Ange and Gio having a cup of coffee one morning in a place that they both liked in the west end of Glasgow. He's a very respectful man, Ange Postecoglou. He meant no disrespect to Michael Beale. He simply means he will deal with Michael Beale when there's a Rangers-Celtic game coming up, as there is on the 2nd of January. And he was simply saying of Giovanni van Bronckhorst, it may look dark having the sack after 15 games of this season, but he's trying to praise him for the work that he did while here, winning a cup, going to Seville, Eintracht Frankfurt. They lost the final, but Ange Postecoglou is simply waving him goodbye in a respectful fashion.
That's a great one for social media, Cammy. I feel like these types of comments were made for social media because there's not exactly a great deal of analysis to be done here, let's be honest. But that won't stop fans on Twitter having a good old laugh at it if you're a Celtic fan, or maybe having a little dig back at Ange Postecoglou if you're not a Celtic fan, and round we go.
Yeah, again, he probably knows he's going to rile a few people up by making that comment, but I genuinely think Ange Postecoglou doesn't really bother too much about other clubs. I really do think he's just focused on his own club and the direction that they're going at the moment. He'll be looking, obviously, they've had their tournament over in Australia, so they've had that, they've had their little break, but he needs to hit the ground running when he comes back, and he knows that because Rangers have made a change in their managerial. He'll know that they will get a reaction from the team, and Michael Beale will want to try and hang on to Celtic as long as they can, because that's all they can do is put pressure on Celtic between now and the end of the season, and it's Celtic's to lose.
Let's go then. 01419511025. I suppose a busier day than it's been for a few weeks at Celtic. There's a familiar face back at the club as well in Peter Lawwell. What's your point tonight, Mitch?
My point is I know we can't do anything about it, but I don't really want Peter Lawwell there at all. I think he's one of these guys. I'm Peter Law, and you do as I tell you. And I've got a funny feeling he'll do what he'd done to the previous two managers, and Ange will probably leave in about a year or two.
Well, I think we'd be very lucky.
It's a doomsday scenario, that, isn't it, Hugh?
Mitch, we'd be very lucky to have Ange Postecoglou in a year or two anyway, because Ange Postecoglou is doing such a job at Celtic Park that he's going to come onto the radar of clubs in England. And inevitably, I think, one day, one of them will try to entice him away from Celtic. However, in the meantime, Peter Lawwell would be well advised not to step into Ange's territory. Ange Postecoglou, for almost a year and a half now, has done a tremendous job for Celtic. He inherited chaos and he turned it into a title. And he has started the season 15 league games, one defeat. So Peter Lawwell, who doesn't come into the building until the 1st of January, it would be well advised not to interfere with the football department. It's none of his concern. And he has to leave Ange Postecoglou well alone, or Ange Postecoglou will not like it.
Yeah, I mean, Ange, I'm calling Mitch Ange because I'm reading something right here on my bit of paper. Mitch, did Ange Postecoglou not issue some comments, you know, some positive things to say about Peter Lawwell, saying that he was influential in getting him to Celtic? I think there was comments on the website saying it's fantastic news for the club. He was instrumental in bringing me here. I know the love he has for the club and so on. So it doesn't sound like he's too concerned at this point.
No, but I still don't trust Peter Lawwell. It's just Peter Lawwell. You made a comment there. He'd be advised not to interfere. Who's going to advise him? He's the chairman.
What I mean by that is that I said Peter Lawwell would be well advised.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, Peter Lawwell... should instinctively know there's a football department led by Ange Postecoglou, and you don't dip your toes into that because it's none of your business.
I wonder, Hugh, because a chairman and a chief executive, now I've got very limited knowledge of these things, but even I know that that's a different role. The chairman's role is to lead the board and be the figurehead for the board rather than being that man that's in charge of the day-to-day running of the club in the way that a chief executive would be. So by definition, the role would suggest that Peter Lawwell will have far less to do with the running of things than he previously did. But fans like Mitch, and there will be many more like him, will say, ah, but this isn't any chairman, this is Peter Lawwell.
Yeah. Now, for years we heard that Peter Lawwell runs Scottish football, and we're talking about Celtic's rivals who'd be saying Peter Lawwell has far too much to say and far too much influence. So he has to live with that. I've never felt that Peter ran Scottish football. He was a very authoritative voice on behalf of Celtic Football Club. But you're right. It was under Ian Bankier, a man who did not like being drawn into controversy, a man who liked it even less if he was asked to comment on controversy. Peter Lawwell may not be that kind of chairman. However, there's a very, very clear line of demarcation here. Ange Postecoglou runs the football team. He doesn't need anyone's assistance. He's doing perfectly well, thank you very much.
I think it was actually Ian Bankier. I was quite surprised almost. I went to the last AGM and Ian Bankier himself almost played down the role of chairman because there was a lot of interest that day as to who the new chairman would be and what influence that would have. Clearly Peter Lawwell's name had been doing the rounds, and Ian Bankier pointed that out to shareholders to remind them that it is that, you know, leader of the board and rather than that day-to-day running. But like I say, that probably that won't make fans like Mitch feel any better. But
Ange Postecoglou is now an iconic figure at Celtic Park. He is adored by the Celtic supporters on a global basis. You saw what happened when Celtic went back to Ange's adopted homeland of Australia. Now, Peter Lawwell, and I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that he would, I'm simply pointing out the only element of danger here is that he strays into the football department and what they are doing. Go away again, because it's none of your business. He's running the team and he's running it very well, and you have to concentrate on board matters.
Thank you, Mitch. It was nice to hear from Mitch and Clyde Bank. Let's bring in Paul in Edinburgh and get his take. Paul?
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised to see Peter come back. I don't know if he ever really left. I mean, I would disagree with Hugh in terms of how he would come into conflict with Ange, because clearly Ange was Peter's guy. Peter didn't want Eddie Howe in. He had no interest in getting another big name manager that was going to push him to make, you know, big name signings and bring in a background team that was going to be different from what was there. Ange Postecoglou was hired through Mark Lowell. Mark Lowell's been brought to the football department. Peter's come back in the football department. Dominic Mackay left. We never got a reason for that. For me, and you know, for many years, I did respect what Peter did for Celtic. He's never kicked us on in Europe, and you know, some people might say, you know, how great Postecoglou is, but if you're going to kick on in Europe, if you're Celtic, you need to be pragmatic, and Ange's never going to do that, and that suits Peter down to the ground. So,
what do you mean about Ange won't ever be pragmatic? What do you mean?
Well, so, in the time that Peter Lawwell has been had his influence on Celtic. You know, I think it was only Gordon Strachan's couple of seasons and Neil Lennon's one season that we progressed in the Champions League. And that was done by being pragmatic, setting up teams to not lose games.
Ah, right, in a footballing sense you meant, sorry. I thought you meant in like relations with the board or whatever.
No, so from that perspective, Andrew's made it clear that he's going to play, you know, he might even not even play a defensive midfielder at all in the Champions League. If we're going to kick on in the Champions League, we have to be pragmatic. You know, during Peter's tenure, Rangers have been to the Europa League final twice. We haven't, you know, as I said, we progressed out of our group on three occasions. Perhaps a degree of pragmatism in terms of, you know, how we set up, how we go forward. And, you know, I go back to, I think Eddie Howe was a huge missed opportunity for us. You see what he's doing just now with Newcastle, the way he sets his team up in the Premier League. You know, I would much rather have that than have this kind of gung-ho style Postecoglou's playing.
That's a different matter from the return of Peter Lawwell. You said that Andy was Peter's man and that you really wanted Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe strung Celtic along for weeks, and I agree with you that he's doing a sensational job at Newcastle, backed by a board who are able to give him any amount of money that he requires, incidentally. But Eddie Howe strung Celtic along, and when he finally put Celtic out of their misery, then they went for Ange Postecoglou. So it wasn't a case of Peter's man. Peter's man was Eddie Howe, along with the rest of the Celtic board. And on the question of pragmatism, Ange Postecoglou is the Celtic manager, and he is allowed to dictate the way Celtic play domestically and in Europe. And his belief is that Celtic will only get better if they keep on trying to be the best version of themselves that they can be. And if you think it's a painful process, then yes it is, because Celtic's Champions League group wasn't the brightest, not by a long chalk. However, Ange Postecoglou picks the team, dictates the tactics, and Peter Lawwell has nothing to do with that other than a request for money that Ange might make.
Just quickly, Paul, before we go, I'm wondering if, because I'm seeing a bit of negative reaction from callers on Twitter and so on as well about the return of Peter Lawwell. How much of that is steeped in the failure to win 10 in a row, or does it run a bit deeper than that?
For me, I don't care about 10 in a row. I care about European progression. I mean, I'm 38, so when I came in supporting Celtic, I came in, you know, to be a pretty poor team. Mm-hmm. Winning in Scotland was fine, but we always had as our identity that we did things in Europe, and that was always our identity and what we were proud of. And I mean, 10 in a row doesn't mean nothing. If we'd got out of Champions League groups during that period of time when we didn't have Rangers, which we should have done and we didn't do, I would be much happier with that, and I think the team would have progressed on much more. Funds would have run in. We wouldn't have missed out on players like John McGinn, you know, which we did do, thanks to Peter. So, you know, it's 10 in a row, not so much of an issue, but more so progression in Europe.
There is a ban on this show from... the mic's gone off. From allowing Hugh Keevans to talk about Celtic's failure to land John McGinn. We've all just been transported back to 2015 or whatever it was, and it was a dark time. Let's not go there. Thank you to Paul in Edinburgh. We'll take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here. Why not get in touch? Because we'd love you to. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, we've been hearing from Ange Postecoglou discussing how he's more focused on tonight's dinner than managerial change at Rangers. I'm about to play you a clip about him talking generally about transfers. It seems the move for Alistair Johnson is getting very, very close. What do you make of that? What do you make of transfer business in general? I know there's been a lot of speculation this week, certainly about the likes of Juranovic and Giakoumakis. So why not pick up the phone and let us know what you're thinking, Rangers fans? This ends another week where it's all about reaction to Michael Beale before we see what he's made of on the pitch in a couple of weeks' time. So again, keep the calls coming, please, on that usual number, 01419511025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And I must admit, Hugh, I've got another tweets here. There's a lot of negative reaction to Peter Lawwell returning as Celtic chairman. There are only a few clubs and maybe a few people whose appointment of a chairman would cause anyone to take any notice, really, if that makes sense. It's, but Stu Ram says it's a massive backward step. Ange will get frustrated with his haggling, his last minute transfers, and he'll leave. I was wondering what was wrong with Jackie Marcus. Every time the club's doing well, they do something like this and mess it all up. Again, just to revisit what we said, as the chairman, that shouldn't really be Peter Lawwell's job to be negotiating with transfers. I get what people are saying, but Peter Lawwell does everything, you know, in Celtic, but that really shouldn't be the way it's going to work going forward, should it?
Well, we'll know very, very quickly if there has been interference of any kind, because Ange Postecoglou won't stand for it. But it's unfair to accuse Peter Lawwell of something before he's even in the building. You know, Michael Nicholson's there as CEO. Ange Postecoglou also has Peter Lawwell's son, Mark Lawwell, as head of recruitment at Celtic
see,
Park.
See?
Yeah, I know.
That's what they'll say.
Yep, yep. But it's not true. So he's back there, and he is not a daft man, Peter Lawwell.
Cammy, did you ever haggle with a chairman when you were trying to thrash out a new deal? Was always a chief exec or a sporting director or whatever?
No, back in my day, it was a chairman. It was Michael Johnson at Kilmarnock, the local Kilmarnock fans. I remember, very controversial man, and Michael was a hard man to deal with. But yeah, I agree. Listen, Peter Lawwell has had success at Celtic. We can't get away from that. He has been successful. I think he'll come in. Ange is a big, big character. For me, he has all the power at the football club. The way that he's came in and put his stamp on this football club, how much he's developed it, I genuinely think he's still the man that'll make all the decisions. Peter Lawwell, as she was saying, would be daft to get involved in the football inside of things. It's under control with Ange. But you're right, Hugh, we will find out very, very soon, because I think the January transfer window will tell its own story if he gets the players in he wants.
I mean, Hugh, there is no limit to the depth of detail that we'll go into when analysing these things nowadays. I'm even seeing it, the point made on Twitter that Celtic announced it on their website, but they did not tweet the news, which just shows you that they know there'll be a split or a negative reaction amongst the fans.
Well,
which apparently there has been, to be fair, if this show's anything to go by.
It doesn't matter where they announce it, the polarisation of the fans will begin in that instant.
But if you keep it away from Twitter, then no one can comment. And well, you know, like when they all reply to you with the abusive
radar
things.
Yeah, they can comment by calling 0141 951 1025. They can have all the time they like. But as I say, we are accusing a man of something before he's even in the building.
This just reminds me, when I'm trying to talk about modern technology, Hugh approached me in the office just before we came on air and said, "See Uber." And I thought, well, where is this going? And I thought, we'll just leave this there. Just you stick to Clydebank taxis, right, you'll be fine. Let's hear a bit more from the callers then, 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB, of course. But Dominic is on the line. Dominic, as a Rangers fan, what's on your mind tonight?
Good evening, Gordon, Cammy and Uncle Q. Talking about tonight, but I think I was listening to Michael Beale's press conference last night, mm-hmm, when he was talking, and to me, he kind of, this is probably a bit far-fetched, but to me, it kind of sounds very similar to Pedro Caixinha, just when he had his press conference, right?
Does he?
Well,
do you mean in terms of his accent or what he says?
Being talking more positive, but they've got to talk like that, I'd understand that. But
hold on a minute, Dominic, I thought all the Rangers fans were loving Michael Beale the talker. We find out what he's like as a football manager in a few weeks. I thought everyone was loving what they were hearing.
I know what you're saying, Gordon, but to me it's just the way that Pedro Caixinha came in. When he came in and had his press conference, right, he came in and said that I've got the best team in Scotland and all that, which was obviously, we all knew, was all the nonsense. But he was going to say that. But for me, it's similar to Michael Beale talking positive, because he's saying that he's got a good squad in that. But Pedro likes to put, when he compared to Pedro, Pedro said that I've got the best team in Scotland and they still mount a title challenge and all that. For me, the league's finished, Gordon. And come January, I can't see any many signings coming in, but the squad needs a complete overhaul.
Again, you're accusing the man of something that hasn't happened yet. The January transfer window, you need to wait until January before you launch any accusations. And it's the first time I've ever heard of anyone being criticised for being positive at their official unveiling inside the Blue Room at Ibrox. Do you want them to say, do you know what, I've inherited a right bunch of scrap here?
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't personally feel like it was listening to Pedro Caixinha. But if, look, let's dig a bit deeper. If you take Dominic's general point though, Cammy, he's talking about, if Michael Beale says this squad's not as broken as people think it is, and you know, certain players can get back to their best and show it, ultimately Dominic disagrees with that. He doesn't think that there is that much cause for positivity. Again though, of course, manager's not going to sit and be negative on their opening day as a manager of a new club. But what does he inherit then when you look at the way this week's panned out?
Again, he has to say what he said. He has to be positive about the job that he's taken on. He's got to use these players at his disposal before the January transfer window comes. They can't afford to drop any more points at all. So for me, listen, there's players there that are underperforming, and a manager needs to get the best out of them. For me, there's guys that are on the pitch that were playing at a real high level last season that can get to that level, and they've just not done it this season. Whether that's down to the manager that was the way they were playing, or the motivation that was coming out of the last manager, I'm unsure. But I still believe there's certain players in that team that can get to much higher level than they have played at this season. I totally agree that there needs to be investment in this season. But listen, Michael Beale also said that they need energy on the pitch. They need to find an identity. There are two things that I definitely think Rangers need to find. They need to find that identity again, because they have lost it. The energy on the pitch this season has been nowhere near what last season was. They don't look as fit as they were. They also don't look as energised, as motivated, and they should be, but they haven't looked like that. So there's loads of small things that Michael Beale can change within a short period of time with the players that he's got at his disposal.
He's said a lot this week because he's spoken at a press conference at length. He's done an interview with Sky. He's done an in-house one at Rangers. Dominic might not be impressed with what he's heard. What have you made of what you've heard, and is there anything in particular that's jumped out for you?
I've been impressed by the way he speaks. I always am impressed by the way he speaks. He's very articulate. I think he spoke about the relationship he's got with the guys at the club, which is really, really important. Him and Ross Wilson, he identified them as two football nerds. So I think they've got a close bond. For me, that's a good positive sign, because they're two guys that are probably looking at the transfer market similar in the same way. So
a lot of Rangers fans won't like that then, if they've been critical of the recent business.
Yeah, and I get, listen, the recent business hasn't been good enough. I think they know that. I think they'll openly admit that some of the transfers, or majority of the transfers they've brought in recently, haven't worked. But again, Can Michael Beale make these players that have came in better players? That's the question. Can he make these players that he's meant to be? And I've seen him firsthand on the training pitch. He is phenomenal on the training pitch. And for me, that's a guy that can then make players better players. But as a manager, there's still question marks over him, because being a coach is completely different to a manager.
I mean, Hugh, on that, there was a lot. I mean, we played lots of clips from the press conference yesterday. I believe there was also comments made, you know, after that didn't get played out, talking about sort of insisting that he will have the final say on transfers again. It can only be words at this point. It's impossible for it not to be. But a lot of Rangers fans needed, or certainly wanted, to hear that.
I think everything he said so far has been on the money. I think the fans also know that Michael Beale is a top class coach. He will begin to put that into operation. The man management side of things we'll have to see as time goes on, because this constant reference to Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent will go on until we know what they're going to do. But Ryan Kent, there's a player in there that I think Michael Beale will restore to the team. He hasn't been himself for a long time. I think Michael Beale can do that. And if he wants to keep Morelos is 26 years old, and he scored over 100 domestic goals for Rangers, as well as 26 goals in Europe. Of course he wants to keep Alfredo Morelos, but Morelos has to play the game and show a better attitude. And I think there's a lot for the Rangers fans to be positive about.
Yeah, well, Dominic, you don't sound as excited as some of your fellow fans, which is fine, because it's good to hear all the opinions. We've had lots of praise for Michael Beale this week. What does he need to do in the short to medium term to convince you?
He's got to get results. It's pretty simple, Gordon, but it's, for me, I hope he's given time, right? But it can be, you know, the nature of the city, you don't get given time. Given the only person that got time was Steven Gerrard, but that was because of for certain reasons. But mm-hmm. I think for a good season for us, finish a strong behind Celtic, and at least minimum one cup.
Can I just introduce one little comment? It's a fortnight away from Rangers' first game, and Dominic is asking for Michael Beale to be given time. He hasn't had one football match.
But we are talking long term. We're talking about what does success look like this season, or what does he need to achieve? Dominic just doesn't want it all ripped up if things don't kick off straight away. I think that's understandable. Thank you, Dominic. 0141 951 1025. Before we go any further, let's talk about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialists, proud to support the local community.
Nothing tells you that Christmas is upon you like Elf on the Shelf, Hugh. Are you familiar with this phenomenon?
I met my niece's husband, who was going to buy some today, but I had no idea what he was talking about.
Now, my daughter is 2 next week, which means we managed to dodge it for the first 2 Christmases. Uh-huh. And now she's kind of that age where, you know, you can... And nothing is hitting home that Christmas is approaching than the hassle, mixed with a little bit of joy in the morning that goes along with that. And I'm sure there'll be many people out there who feel that. But what it did hit home is just how close the big day is getting. Just a couple of weeks to go now. And it is, obviously, it's an exciting time. It's a positive time for many. But the harsh reality is right here on our doorstep. There's lots of people who are going to struggle a lot at this time of year. They struggle at this time every year. And this year should be even more difficult because of the cost of living crisis and everything else that's going on. So we are on a mission, a Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, to make a little bit of a difference, and we need your help. So I'm going to introduce you to some of the good causes that your money can help. Your donations help groups like the Motherwell FC Community Trust, based down at Fir Park. They combat holiday hunger over the holidays. Sometimes, believe it or not, kids are going that entire school holiday without even getting a hot meal because they're not at school. So Don Middleton from the group's going to explain to us that everyone's welcome there and they can take their food home with them.
So at the end of the session, we put out a table and we have a bag of food, and there's cereal bars, there's soup, and there's pasta and sauce. So at the end of the day, they can take away a full day's meals for free. And it doesn't matter if you're paying, if you're not paying. If you want to take a bag, if you want to take 3 bags, that's absolutely fine. And we just have that so people don't feel judged. No one cares if you're taking a bag.
Yeah, we're not asking you to do anything elaborate for these children this Christmas, just trying, as you can hear, things that many of us would take for granted. In some parts of Glasgow in the West, as many 1 in 2 children live in poverty, which is an outrageous statistic. So we're trying to make a difference with your help. Go to Clyde1.com/mission. That's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, Cammy Bell is alongside him, and you can get in touch on the usual number or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou, who's done his press today. He was talking about a number of topics, and he was asked about Alistair Johnson in the context of more general recruitment business, and he did the old politician's thing. He sort of didn't directly answer because he wouldn't want to, while it's still kind of speculation at this point, although it seems to be getting closer. But he did go into some detail about what they are aiming for in this January window.
Well, I've always said we want to be active, and we're constantly looking at, you know, opportunities. I think, you know, every transfer window is an opportunity to get stronger, and we want to be trying to do that. That doesn't always mean bringing in players. Sometimes it just means not losing our best players, or just being stronger in terms of the team developing. But if we've got opportunities to bring players in who we think will make us stronger at the end of the window, then that's what we'll do. And as you said, we've still got a month to go before January, plus January itself, we'll be active for sure, and with when we see the right opportunity, we'll move on it.
It does seem like the Alistair Johnson move is getting much closer, Cammy, even though the manager's keeping his cards close to his chest. What do you make about that? And is that one particularly interesting because of the potential knock-on effects for Josip Juranovic?
Yeah, I think that'll be play a huge part in why they're trying to get him in. Also, listen, it's quite a big fee they're talking about for bringing Alistair Johnson in. If it's anything, the fee's getting bandied about. I'm not sure initially it'll be as high as we kind of initially think, sort of 5 million. I wouldn't imagine that'll be straight up front. But he's a player with loads of experience. He's obviously over at the World Cup at the moment. Had a decent World Cup, got that experience there, and a lot of caps for Canada as well. So yes, yeah, it's not one that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure Angie's worked hard behind the scenes watching him, making sure he's the right player, going to fit into the right environment that he's created at the football club. Because listen, majority of Angie's signings have worked for him so far. Mm-hmm. And it's important. I think he's really, really firm on that the right people come into the football club. It's all about the person as well as the footballer. It's not just about the football and the talent that they've got. It's about the right person coming into the squad, because he doesn't want to disrupt anything. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that one probably will get over the line.
It looks like the initial fee could be 3.5 million, Hugh, which probably falls right into that bracket of you're not completely breaking the bank, but it's obviously the type of money that suggests you're someone that the club really wants and wants to be a main part of the first team picture.
I don't know what more Ange Postecoglou can do other than prepare people by saying, look, some of your favourites might be going and others will be coming in, and Alistair Johnston would appear to fit the bill there. Juranovic, almost from the moment he got here, has been talking about not being here, and now Giacomakis is getting in the act as well, although I suspect it's that Giacomakis's representative.
Well, I was going to say, is it those pesky agents that yeah, do these things? Yeah. Is it? I'm not sure. I don't know to what level Juranovic has ever said it himself, but you're right. There's always been something about yeah. different clubs.
And I think Alistair Johnson will come in, and there will be outgoings in January. Ange Postecoglou has paved the way without naming names.
Yeah, well, he was actually asked about Giacomakis as well, and I get this kind of goes back to the comment that we spoke about earlier in the show about the Rangers manager and how Ange Postecoglou is more focused on his dinner. He does seem to have a very one track mind, Hugh. When he's ever asked a question that's even remotely out of left field or something that he's not bothered about, he kind of lets you know. And he just basically said, I just look at the players in training. If they're committed in training, that's all that concerns me. If they've got contracts, they've got representatives, they deal with the club. If there's any issues that come across my desk, fine, but that's more in the background. For me, it's just about what I see every day. That's what he said on Giacomakis. So again, sort of cards close to the chest there. What is your reading of that one this week? Is it the agent mischief making, or is it generally that just contract talks have stalled and it could be one that gets sold in January?
He's under contract till 2026. Mm. There appears to be some kind of clause in the contract which allows the player and his representative to meet with Celtic to discuss a change in his terms. So that will be done. And if Ange Postecoglou thinks, well, I'm not sure about him anymore, then he'll be off.
Well, let's bring in Chris, who's a Celtic fan in Milton. What do you make of that then, Chris? You know, a lot of talk about Giacomakis at the moment and maybe players going, players coming in. How do you feel about that scenario?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, you've basically just covered it there. I do hope that it is just sort of agent chat and, you know, just speculation, to be fair, because I do believe that Giacomakis would have a big part to play in sort of next season. I think they could forge a role with him and Kyogo, to be fair, make that work. So hopefully it is just, like yeah. I say, speculation and then they'll go anywhere with it.
We had some people on, you know, previously, Chris, who liked Giacomakis and said that they ultimately they'd prefer it if he stayed and they liked him, but they felt that for the right money, maybe he is one that you could upgrade and get a striker that's even more suited to European football or whatever. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I understand that, but what kind of I'm old, kind of old school, and I see him and I kind of mold as the old, you know, like John Hartson and Chris Sutton type idea, big bustly player up front, and that can make things happen, if you know what I mean. I kind of think that they could kind of forge him into that style of player, and have like a a Kyogo off him kind of idea.
It's just impossible, Cammy, to not assess these in the context of, like you said, that comment Ange Postecoglou made about, I'm paraphrasing, get ready to see some of your favourites go, or get ready for the possibility. If he hadn't said that, maybe this would all feel a bit different.
Yeah, listen, but again, Rangers and Celtic are both selling clubs to these giants in Europe, whether it's a team down in England or guys in Europe that can come in with the money. And ultimately, Celtic are prepared for, I'm pretty sure they've done a lot of work in the background. Obviously, you're looking at Johnson coming in, who Juranovic might move on. But again, the longer he plays in that World Cup and does well in the World Cup, his value goes up for Celtic as well. So that's a positive sign if he is going to move on in January. And Giakoumakis is the same, that it's one of the ones, yes, it would be great for him to stay at the club, and I'm pretty sure Ange would probably want him to stay at the club, but they will be prepared if somebody does come in with the right money, the right valuation, what Celtic see as they could get for him, and they'll bring somebody else in.
Thank you to Chris. That was Chris in Milton, 01419511025. That was a fast hour, I must say. It's that time already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your final Beat the Pundit of the week. And it's a big one, is it not? It's 4 out of 4 for the pundits this week, which means you two are under pressure.
Don't, I messed up last Friday.
I'll leave you alone for one night and you chucked it.
I know,
well,
mate.
Which means it could all come down to you again tonight. The week hinges on it because the pundits have won every night. So listeners, come on. You'll ruin my weekend if we don't get at least one victory on the board for you this week. 01419511025. The lines close at 7, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. So why not get in touch and let them know what you're thinking about your team or your rivals or something else entirely different. Come on down and share your thoughts. In fact, we're just kicking off in the World Cup as well. Cameroon against Brazil, Serbia against Switzerland. And, well, it's the end of the group stages, isn't it, tonight? So if you'd rather change direction slightly away from Scottish football, why not get in touch and let us know who's going to win this World Cup? You've had a look at everyone now in the group stages. Who's been the best? Who's impressed you? Because it seems like no one really is standing out. So why not? If you want to get in touch, please do. Brazil are in blue for a start, Hugh, which just doesn't sit right. It's just not the same.
But they must be still the favourites to win this competition, I'm thinking.
Well, they are the only team that can finish the group stage with 9 points out of 9. Yeah. They are the only one. There has been a weird drop in those standards this season. I got my trusty researcher, otherwise known as producer Callum, to look back, and never in the history of a 32 team World Cup has it less than two teams finished with a 100% record. So even if Brazil do it tonight, they'd be the only team. And that's never happened before in the 32 team World Cup. For some reason, nobody has won all their group games.
I've enjoyed this World Cup, but it's weird. Weird things are happening. So Argentina and Croatia, who are my teams in the sweep, they're still there. I don't care about the rest of you. Today, I am Eva Perón. Today, I am Diego Armando Maradona. I don't care about the rest of you. I just want my sweep ticket to come up.
Can you not name a famous Croatian?
No.
Didn't think you could. On that note.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's see who's on the line. It's Nadeem in Livingston. How's it going, Nadeem?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Not bad, thank you. Have you ever played before?
No, you know, I phoned up a few times and spoke to the panel and yourself, but never
played for Beat the Pundit. Brilliant. I love the style of, I think it was at last night's contestant, Callum. He called in, Hugh asked him if he'd ever played, does he play along at home? And he said, yeah, I played along last night. How did you do? Zero, he said. So somebody out there got a zero at home and thought, I know what I'll do, I'll phone in with the added pressure of actually being on air and see how I get on. And he got one. So he was moving up in the world, but it was still a defeat. So let's see if we can put the pundits in their place tonight, Nadeem, because we need a victory for the listeners. It's 4 out of 4 for the pundits this week. So heads, it'll be Hugh. Tails, it'll be Cammy, who blew it for the pundits last Friday. It's tails again. Is it? Oh, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it, Nadim. So I'll give him some Clyde 2 to listen to, and I'll put it nice and loud so he can't hear us. It's 30 seconds. You just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Yep, let's do it.
Top man, 30 seconds then, starting now. Which Celtic manager signed Nakamura and Boric?
Neil Lennon.
Which Scottish League One team does Brian Rice currently manage?
Yeah.
Name the only Scotsman who started the recent Scottish Cup final win for Rangers.
Scott Wright.
Which Scottish Premiership club did Harry Souter make his first professional appearance with?
Pass.
Name either Jim who managed Dunfermline during their most recent top flight season.
McInally.
Okay, let's bring back Cammy Bell. Cammy, can you hear us?
Yes.
Tough tonight, really, really tough tonight.
Perfect.
Sorry. You ready?
Yep.
Which Celtic manager signed Nakamura and Boric?
Neil Lennon.
Which Scottish League One team does Brian Rice currently manage?
Alwa.
Name the only Scotsman who started the recent Scottish Cup final win for Rangers.
Don't know, pass.
Which Scottish Premiership club did Harry Souter make his first professional appearance with? Name either Jim who managed Dunfermline during their most recent top flight season.
Jim McIntyre.
Nadim, how did it go?
Not good.
Not good.
And
not
I was
good.
Very slow there as well.
You both got the same amount of questions.
Okay.
You both got off to a bad start. It was Gordon Strachan who signed Nakamura and Boric. It took him a while, I must admit, Nadim, but he got there in the end. You got your A's mixed up. And in fact, Ayr are a championship team as well. So it's Alloa Athletic for Brian Rice, 1-0. You will both kick yourself on this. You are a Rangers fan, Nadim. You are a former Rangers player, Cammy Bell. Furthermore, you are a former Rangers goalkeeper, John McLaughlin. He gets subbed just before the end. There was a big farewell to a guy who ended up not leaving.
That's a stinker.
It is a stinker. So it's still 1-0 to Cammy. See the problem with this, Nadim? I'm going to start vetting the questions. When you've got someone like Cammy on, he played for about 20,
I played in that game.
He played for about 25 teams in Scotland. So he was bound to know that Harry Souter.
He was in front of me that night.
Was he actually?
Yep. Arbroath in the cup.
There we
yep,
go.
That's what it was.
Maybe get to him and
there's just inquiry there, Gordon.
Listen, it's hard to find a team he didn't play with though, Nadim. So it's 2-0. It's not going great, Nadim, is it? That's an understatement. Uh-huh. And if you to name either Jim who managed Dunfermline during their most recent top flight season, see when you heard him say Jim McIntyre, Nadim, was that who you were thinking of?
Absolutely, 100%.
I thought it would be. You said McInally, who was the Peterhead manager until recently. You had the choice of Jim Jeffries as well. Oh, it is a 3 for Cammy and a 0 for Nadim. Nadim, it's much easier to just phone up and just argue with Hugh Keevans about football.
Absolutely, I think I'll stick to that for the future, Gordon. Aye.
Stick to the day job. Good man, Nadim. It was nice to hear from you.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Nadim, mate. In Livingston. That make up for last
I'm
week?
I'm delighted.
You're back.
There was a lot of pressure there. I was sweating before I started, so. Yeah,
you're back. It's a clean sweep for the pundits, which means we need to do better next week. Listeners, come on, get ready, get studying all weekend. We'll be back on Monday night. We need to do better. We can't have that. We cannot have 5 in a row for these horrible, clueless duds. No offence.
It really is the first time Nadim's ever called in
and not argued with
and
you.
Not argue with me, yeah. He absolutely can't stand me.
Not at all. It's a mutual respect.
Difference of opinion.
That's the phrase I was looking for. Right, 01419511025. If you want to talk Scottish football in the absence of the top flight, feel free. We've been hearing from Ange Postecoglou speaking about sort of transfer business and his lack of care about Rangers changing their manager. Rangers fans, as we have done all week really, we've been reacting to Michael Beale and looking at some of the things that may lie in wait for him in the future. What about this World Cup then? Just for a bit of fun, even just for 5-10 minutes, why not tell us, now that the group stages are coming to a close, who's been the best team based on the group stages? Because we all had our preconceptions about who was going to win it, but now that you've seen every team 3 times, who looks like they're going to go on and win this World Cup? Because I said it just before Beat the Pundit, Brazil are the only team that could possibly end up with a 100% group stage record. They're going to have to win tonight, and even if they do, they'll be the only team. Now, in the history of the World Cup, in the 32-team format, it's never only one team that does the 100% win in the group stages. Sometimes it's as many as five and four, and lots of times it's been three. But Brazil are looking at like being the only one. So I wonder what you take away from that. Does that mean it's much more open? Does it mean it's anybody's to win? Has any team stood out and impressed you? Pick up the phone right now and let us know. 01419511025.
I've thought of a famous creation.
Oh, go on.
Davor Suker.
That's what I was going to say.
No, but see, this is the thing. I was hoping you would go non-football, because that's too easy. Because you go Juranovic
and I need a listener to tell me the name of a famous Croatian.
Right, I just googled famous Croatians.
Do we know any?
There's nothing hugely jumping out at me. This just maybe shows you how on. Oh, you could have gone down another sporting route though. That would have been easy. What about Goran Ivanisevic?
Oh yeah, tennis. Yeah.
Were you at Wimbledon? Because you used to go a lot.
Yeah, I saw Ivanisevic play many times.
No, but you were there when he won it. Sorry, he made the wild card entry.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That wasn't it.
What year was that?
Oh, for goodness sake, early 2000s.
No, it wasn't.
I like to pretend that we're in control when you're asking me football questions, but I think 2000. And I'll get back to you.
2000 was the last time I was there. My granddaughter, my oldest grandchild, was born that year, and I was told to get up the road sharpish.
People, imagine you've just turned on. Why are they talking about Goran Ivanisevic? How did that come up on Beat the Pundit? It didn't. But you can talk about the World Cup if you like. I'll tell you what, let's put a Scottish spin on things. Well, an Australian Scottish spin on things, because something else Ange Postecoglou covered today was the fact that all four of his Celtic players are not only at the World Cup but through to the knockout stages as well. There's been a pretty successful time, and Ange Postecoglou believes that can now benefit Celtic when they return.
Oh, absolutely. I said that before, you know, being a World Cup myself, it's a great experience, and if you do well like our boys have, you come back with more sort of belief and more sort of confident about your ability to perform at the highest level, and I think it's going to be of great benefit to us, you know, not just in the short term but beyond that. You know, our players have been exposed to that level of football and they've done well, so yeah, I think it's going to be enormously beneficial for us.
It seems like the benefits could be in different ways, Hugh. If you are, and I'll underline that word, if you are looking to sell Josip Juranovic, if you are looking to make money on him, it's nice to have that on your CV, being in the knockout stages of the World Cup. If he goes and has a good game, might even progress further than that, that's great. That's great for business. Start moving the decimal point around, start adding zeros. Maybe if you're Aaron Moy, it's more about really kickstarting your season and building up your confidence. It's been a bit of maybe a slow burn, and maybe he comes back a different man. Again, you know, Maeda, whether it's sort of building up his confidence, Cameron Carter-Vickers could fall into both categories, but yeah, probably the sort of growing asset one would be more applicable to him. So I take it can only be a good thing for Celtic. I know you might talk about tiredness or injuries or whatever, but generally speaking, is it a good thing?
I don't see any of them being ready for the game against Aberdeen, which will be Celtic's first one back after the World Cup break. So they will have to be treated with kid gloves for a while, but Celtic have a very good, very lengthy squad of players. I think in the case of Daizen, he has really surprised me over there. Unbelievable energy that he possesses. I think people will be looking at him with fresh eyes and saying, who's this guy? So yeah, they will come back all the better for the experience, all the better for having done well at a World Cup, not let themselves down at all. The Aberdeen game, though, you can rule out four players straight away.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the schedule, though, right? Netherlands USA is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Should the USA's World Cup end there, that's 2 weeks before Celtic play. So even if Cameron Carter-Vickers gets a week of that off, which would be a lot on a week's training, you would be fine for that, 2 weeks.
Well, you'd know better.
If they get to the final, you'll be struggling. It'll be after that.
But. Listen, the longer they go on in the tournament, the likelihood they'll play that game against Aberdeen, they would be struggling. But as Gordon says there, I think if they were to go out very soon, there would be enough period of time to give them 5-6 days off and then prepare them for the game, because he's ultimately been over there training. Listen, the players aren't used to a break at this time of the season anyways. I know it's very intense over there. It's the World Cup, but for me, it's a positive for Celtic, for all these players being over there. At the end of the day, whether they're willing to sell them or not, their values go up. They're now World Cup players, they're international players, and that means their value goes up. So it doesn't matter if you're wanting to sell them at this moment in time or not. It's always good to have on your CV the experience, the exposure. So it's all a positive for me.
And of course, Monday is actually Maeda against Juranovic. It's Japan against Croatia. So one of them will definitely be heading home. But is there more to it than that, Cammy? We're talking about assets, but ultimately, can it just make you better? Can it just make you better for Celtic? Can it boost your confidence? Can it improve you having tested yourself against different types of opponent?
100%. They're playing against the best in the world. They're playing against the best players. They're improving themselves because they're playing with better players sometimes. So for me, that they're going to get better. That I think they'll come back better players for being at the World Cup. I don't think they'll come back tired. They'll come back with loads of energy, experience. Tiredness for me doesn't seem to, for Celtic especially, doesn't seem to creep into it. Whether it's the way that Ange trains them and they're very intense all the time, I've never really seen a Celtic player say they're tired or look tired. He manages them really well. He uses his squad really well. So I don't think that tiredness would play a part at all.
We heard some stuff, I suppose, on that towards the end of last season. Who's looked the best then? Is it Brazil for you so far? Although this is the point I'm making about teams' failure to get 9 points out of nine. They might not impress you here for the next 80 minutes or so.
They've rested a few players as well. They've got some squad though. Again, Brazil have been up there. France, I think, are a decent outfit. Spain, I like them in some games. I think I don't think Spain will go all the way, but Brazil and France for me are the ones that I've impressed. Listen, I loved watching Japan. I think the energy that they play with, the enthusiasm, they're technically really, really good as well. They're a very, very good side. So listen, they could be a little bit of shock. I can't see them winning it, but they could go further than people think.
There was a time last night when Spain and Germany were both heading out. It ended up just being Germany. Who's winning it for you, Hugh, based on what you've seen at the group stages?
I thought Spain might be a surprise package, but after a brilliant start, they've gone on the wane. I still think Brazil.
Is everyone getting behind Australia because of the numerous links to Scotland, Scottish clubs?
Well, I mean,
is that the obvious choice?
Argentina versus Jason Cummings. Come on.
Amazing. Listen, it's great watching Australia. There's a sort of infectiousness about them that you want them to do well just the way they are. Obviously, you see Martin Boyle, and I've played with Boyler, and he's a great character, and I can see why they've wanted to keep him over there. But he's involved in every sort of huddle after the game, and he's a good person to have about the place to create that energy and enthusiasm. So it's good. And obviously, Harry Suter, as we've just went through, the beat the pundit, made his debut for Dundee United in front of me. So a very, very good player.
Funnily enough, we've been speaking to one of his former coaches at Dundee United, who I'm sure you'll know, Stevie Campbell, who could not be more proud of the defender, having watched him progress and now see him putting in good performances on the World Cup stage. Scotland born, of course.
It is quite unbelievable, you know, when you look at it. And I know you could never say I've been so lucky over my sort of 20 years of coaching. Coach quite a, you know, a lot of high-level players, but you never know. You can never say. You would need a crystal ball, if I'm being completely honest. But I think it was his mentality. I think when you look at, and I hate to keep mentioning John as well, because of a family who've had, you know, a bit of heartache recently with their brother. They've obviously had horrendous injury problems, but the two of them, the mentality that they've got and the love for football and the attitude that they've got, you know, they're always going to bounce back. And you know, it's quite incredible to say that Harry's probably not 100% fit yet. You know, he's just coming back for almost a year out, and to go and play at the highest level, oh my God. And let's be honest, the stage he's on now, I think there'll be clubs after that absolutely clamouring for his signature. And no wonder, because in each game he showed all the qualities defensively, and we've seen that amazing, you know, the pass, the range of passing, the composure that he's got, and he's just grew in terms of decision making and things like that. He looks like he's a 30-year-old centre half, and no, you know, just in his 20s, you know. So it's incredible. It's incredible to see him at the top stage. And as I say, a sense of pride for myself, and I'm sure Ian Carthrow's in that of this world as well. And it's absolutely great for everybody in Brechin to see what can be done with that dedication, you know, that Harry and obviously John have got. It's they're just the best role models that you could get, you know, they really are.
Is there a possibility that in maybe by the end of this World Cup, or maybe in the near future, that we start a Harry Souter's the one that got away type discussion?
Well, we'll have that all the time. First time I've ever heard breaking and the World Cup mentioned in the same sentence.
What do you think, Cammy? Yeah. Has it, like, he's playing at Stoke, but he's had bad injury problems. Could he be the one that got away?
Absolutely. I think he probably was. Before this tournament, I always kind of thought he would be one of these guys that would regret not getting a cap, because he had the potential for me. I'd seen him first and foremost, but I knew going down south he has struggled a little bit, but due to injuries and stuff, but he's got all the attributes. He's an absolute giant at centre half, but he can pass as well. He's got that range of passing. And for me, it's probably one of the positions in the Scotland team that we really do struggle is a centre half. So yeah, I think he could be one definitely in the future. That we're probably already saying that after this World Cup, the one that got away for us.
But they'll be saying that about Lyndon Dykes, I'm sure. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're going to speak to Andy on the phone lines in just a second. Let's get your full-time teaser as well. It's Cameroon 0, Brazil 0. But Switzerland have taken a 1-0 lead against Serbia. So as it stands, Brazil would go through as group leaders in Group G. Group winners, Switzerland would be second. And that would conclude the picture for the knockout rounds. So whilst we get Andy lined up, let me give you tonight's full-time teaser, slightly related to the World Cup. Can you name 8 Welshmen who've played in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Oh, Ryan Edwards.
It is very tough, no. He's Scouser, isn't he? I think roughly some that neck of the woods.
Oof. Dylan Levitt Welsh.
He was in the squad. He's away to the World Cup. Well done. 8 Welshmen have played in the Premiership this season in Scotland. Dylan Levitt.
Tough question.
Mm-hmm. A few really tricky ones there, but I think there are a couple more you can progress with, especially once you start working your way around your former clubs, Cammy, because you played for nearly all of them. So
5, I think. 5 in the Premier League.
Is it 5 in the Premiership?
If Partick were to get promoted, it'd be 6, obviously, as long as Kilmarnock or who else have we got down there, Dundee United, don't drop out.
Right, here's your task for tomorrow, listeners. Is there anyone else out there that's played for more than 5 of the current Premiership teams? Anyone you can think of?
That's a good point. So my 5 are Rangers, Kilmarnock, St Johnstone, Dundee United,
Hibs.
And Hibs. The 5 had to look there.
I think you'd be struggling to push that. I know you've got Fraser Wishart on the show. He'll have done what, Rangers, Motherwell, Hearts, St Mirren.
Yep.
I think he's got as many as you. Our old pal of the show, Kenny Miller, he tends to get about, doesn't he? Celtic, Rangers, Livy. Did he play for Livy?
Don't know.
Player manager, I think it was
Hibs,
Livy,
obviously.
Hibs.
I think that'll be it with Kenny.
Is it? Maybe it's got to be another goalie, Craig Sampson. He'll have been
a few.
Don't
know, it's a good question, though.
Anyway, right, we're getting this. Oh, he's done 7. Craig Sampson's done you. He's absolutely done you. Or has he? Oh no, he didn't play for Aberdeen or Hibs, but he signed.
No, listen, it's games.
Count.
It's games. Yeah.
Right, okay, anyway. How did we just get 2 quizzes up and running at once? I'll leave that one for tomorrow. Dylan Levitt, is Welsh anymore in the Scottish Premiership?
No, thinking time.
Okay, I'll give you some more thinking time. See what you can come up with. There are a few high profile ones, I promise. Let's bring in Andy, who is on the line. What about this World Cup, Andy? Who's looked the best of the group stages?
Well, I was just saying, your producer Chris, I'm not too sure, because some teams are playing really well and then the next game they're dropping points. You know, I mean, obviously Brazil, France, and I'm not too keen to see this name by England, but I still think it's so hard to call this World Cup this year.
Oh, tell me about the emotional turmoil, Cammy, of having England in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard sweep. The chance to be victorious over Keevans, as he hates getting called, and DL and Wilson and Bartley and the rest of them, and then realising that England have won the World Cup, as a passionate Scottish football fan, that's an emotional argument I've been having with myself, and I don't think it's worth it.
No.
Have they got a case to have looked the best?
I don't think they've looked a bit. I don't think they'll be strong enough. I think when they come up against a real tough opposition, I think France could be the first one to meet. Senegal will be a test. They're a physical team, but I think they'll get by that one. But then when they come up against a French team, I don't think England have got enough. Defensively, they've not been asked a question yet, really. Attacking-wise, they've got a number of flair players they can play with, but I just think if a team gets at them, Mbappe gets at that defence, I think there's goals that England will lose, so I don't think they're strong enough.
I'm the only one on the Super Scoreboard team who can tell you what it was like to be, not at the game, but to be in this city on the day that England won the World Cup in 1966.
And?
I went to see Elvis in the movies.
Quite right. Don't like the social media now though, which make it so much more difficult. Anyway, what about your own club team, Andy? As a Rangers fan, it's been quite the week, just kind of thinking ahead to what lies in wait for Michael Beale, and I think there's a lot of confidence, a lot of optimism seems to have crept in after a really negative few weeks. How do you feel?
I think the first thing Michael Beale's got to do is get the confidence back first, because I think the Champions League's really knocked the stopping out of the players, really did. I know we weren't playing that good in the league, but the Champions League really killed us. And I think if he gets them back the way he wants, if he play and gets all, I mean, look at any, I mean, everybody's seen he's got a big, big squad, but if you look at some of the players, like Hollander, Golson, Hadji, Lawrence, Roof, you know what I mean? So I really think we'll still have a wee shout. I'm not giving up. And if we can get, heard the boys talking about it, if we can get Kent, Alfredo and Kabara, if we can get them back on track again, which I think he could do, we're still having a shout.
Of the league, you mean? You still think there's a chance?
Yeah, I'm getting on the league this time of year. No chance.
I think the confidence comes from the fact that Michael Beale's back in the building. I think those who worked with him in the season that Rangers won the league are looking forward to working with him again, and there'll be an entirely new dynamic about Rangers. I think from the start of this season, the dynamic was all wrong. I mean, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst may be the nicest man in the world, but it wasn't happening. The daft points that were dropped, the look of disinterest in some players' faces, it culminated in the manager having to go after 15 games because the club thought it's going to continue in this vein and Celtic will win the league in a canter. But I think it will be a different Rangers that come back after this World Cup break. They are there now with Michael Beale. And to address Andy's point, arithmetically, you have 23 games to play, 69 points to be played for. Why would you say the league was won at this stage?
Because you felt that overturning a 9-point gap would be very difficult. It's not that much of a reach, is it?
Well, let me answer that with a hypothetical scenario for you. Rangers wipe the floor with Hibs, as they will.
Oh, I know how this is going to work. You're now going to tell me that Rangers pick up 10 points more than Celtic
and therefore
they win the league.
I mean, you must allow me to answer your question. You're saying, well, 9 points of a start. Rangers beat Hibs, Celtic don't beat Aberdeen.
I get that, but that people are...
3 Old Firm games still to be played.
And by the way, I'm not even disagreeing, but you're acting as if I understand why people would be confident that it's going to be a really tough ask. Celtic dropping 9 points, Rangers getting 9 points more would be tough.
I'm not disputing anyone who might think, well, it's as good as done. All I'm saying is the one important word here, arithmetically, it's not done.
Yeah, I get that. But arithmetically, it won't be done until goodness knows when, April, May time, Cammy. That doesn't mean a lot of people won't have their own strong feelings on the destination of the title.
I've said it before, Celtic are in the driving seat, absolutely. They're in the position that Rangers would want to be, 9 points ahead. But Rangers fans and the club will not give this up. There is obviously Old Firm games, which are going to be really, really important for Rangers now. More important, obviously, than it is for Celtic. Celtic can probably afford to draw them games. But for Rangers, they need to go and win the games. And they need to win all the rest of the games. It's going to be really, really hard. But listen, it can be done, because it's always hard being in front as well. I think that's a real test of character, that you're 9 points ahead, you don't get lackadaisical. We've seen it, that obviously Celtic can be beaten by clubs out with the Old Firm, so we know that can happen. Every game in the Premier League's difficult if you
it
don't
doesn't
approach
happen
it
too
right.
often, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't.
Based
it doesn't.
On recent history.
But again, if you don't approach the games right, and that's what Ange will be drilling into his players, if you don't approach these games in the correct manner, then we can drop points. But Rangers need to get back to good performances, start getting results, and I'm pretty sure Michael Beale will be in there telling the players they're playing for the future. All them players there, it's a new manager, they need to perform or they'll be moved on.
What's the bare minimum that would keep you happy this season, Andy? If you can't get that 9 point gap overturned?
Well, definitely close the gap to, you know, whatever we can close it, but definitely win the Scottish Cup. Definitely we need to try and win a cup this season. Or maybe in two, but I would take the Scottish Cup. And if we don't win the league, but at least maybe lose the league by 2 or 3 points, I would be. And we can see the team playing obviously a lot better than they have been playing. I'd be happy with that.
I mean, if you are 9 points back, Hugh, do you think most Rangers fans would settle for at least being competitive? You know, there's no disgrace in being unable to overturn the 9 point deficit from. What will it be, late December by the time we kick off?
I think they will come back an entirely different proposition. Celtic have been terrific in the first 15 games, only one defeat at St Mirren. But I think Rangers will come back completely transformed under Michael Beale. And they have to translate that into league points. But
all the while rivals drop some.
But there'll be no more... defeats at Perth, there'll be no more draws in Paisley.
Are you sure?
I do not think that will be the case under Michael Beale. I mean, traditionally, of course, you might struggle at Aberdeen away, you might struggle Hearts away, certainly at Celtic Park, but I don't think there'll be any of the carelessness that... marked the first 15 games of the season.
Suppose the problem when you're 9 points behind, if we are actually talking about a title race, Cammy, is forget carelessness, forget doing it habitually. You probably can't even afford to have a freak of nature and do it once. You know, like, because that can happen at any level of football. As if we're talking about Celtic being dominant, you know, they lost at St Mirren. These things can happen. Rangers probably can't afford any of those then.
No, they can't. They've had their ones for this season. They need to hit the ground running. I think the first weekend, not just for points, the first weekend will tell a lot how Rangers come back and approach that Hibs game. Hibs are a team that should be up higher up in the league than they are. They've underperformed, so they're a team that are under pressure, a manager that's probably under pressure as well. So they'll be coming to Ibrox to try and get some points, but as you said, he expects a different Rangers team to go and perform. So if Rangers can go and put a really good performance and get the 3 points, it then puts the pressure on Celtic to go up to Aberdeen and get 3 points there. So the first game for me will tell a little bit of story. See if Rangers come back and they're laboured and they don't put a good performance in at Ibrox against Hibs, then for me there's absolutely no chance.
Thank you, Andy. 01419511025. I'll tell you what, the Switzerland-Serbia game's a cracker. Switzerland, I think, were one up, weren't they? Serbia have scored twice quickly and gone 2-1 in front in that one. Brazil still goalless against Cameroon.
Give me the precise wording of the teaser again.
Yes, 8 Welshmen have played in the Scottish top flight this season.
I didn't even think there were 8.
Oh, yes. Dylan Levitt is the one that you've got. You even Andy mentioned one of them in passing.
Oh wow.
Why might that have been? What was Andy talking about?
Oh, Rabbi Matondo.
Right. And he mentioned another one then. What was Andy doing when he was why was he running through players? What team did he support?
Rangers.
Right.
Davis.
No.
No.
Oh, his silence is never good. Right, I'll give you some thinking time and we'll get back to that. I've got a feel for the poor Cameroon physio there, right? He's going to be all over the internet, all over social media in a matter of minutes with one of the worst cases of what they call builder's bum I've ever seen. Hugh Keevans. The poor guy's on doing his job. He's leaning down, dishing out some treatment. My goodness. his breeks, as you would say, are halfway down his legs. That's not great. That is not great at all. Still goalless in that one. Cameroon 0, Brazil 0. Still nothing, no, on the old list of Rangers players that Andy might have been running through. Why would you run through a list of Rangers players that are bound together by a common cause at the moment, because they are maybe not playing, because they are...
Tom Lawrence.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Tom Lawrence. Right, we'll get the rest. No, I tell a lie. We will try and get the rest, and we'll look ahead to some of the weekend's football next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the home straight then with Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell. We're asking them the full time teaser tonight, sent in by Jimmy in Ayrshire. Thank you to Jimmy. Fulltime at Clyde1.com, by the way. That's the email address you need to send it to. Can you name 8 Welshmen who've played in the Scottish Premiership this season? Nathan has sent me, I think Nathan sent me 9. Now, the reason being, Nathan's just really clever. One of them is in the Premiership, but I don't think he's played. I don't think he's made an appearance. Right. That's why we're only looking for 8.
Yes, I've got a trio from Kilmarnock.
Oh, so you've eventually...
Yes, it's
get tucked into your old clubs. Yep. Okay,
Christian Doidge.
Uh huh.
We've got Joe Wright, centre half.
Yep,
and his partner Ash Taylor.
Well done. So that means we're only only two to go. Okay, well, that's not bad at all. Nathan's done very well on that tweet. And it is one last reminder: fulltime at Clyde1.com. If you want to email the questions and test the pundit's knowledge with your question, that's the one to do. Do you know? Interestingly, though, without turning this into a complete quizzing segment, we've been getting phone calls and messages about other players that we think are beating your record or threatening your record.
I know there will be people that beat it. It's just interesting.
In who? Well, Tony Watts played for 5. St. Johnstone, Hearts, Celtic, Dundee United, Motherwell.
Yep.
So you're level with him. We're now going back a bit. Scott Wright, not that Scott Wright. A tweeter called Scott Wright sent me a message. Remember Jim Hamilton?
Yes.
Hearts, Aberdeen, Dundee United, Ross County, Livy, Motherwell and St.
Wow.
Wow.
Unbelievable. 7 of the current 12.
It's a good
that is some shift. That is some going. Got a few miles in there as well. I'll tell you what, unsuspecting, one of the games of the tournament so far is Serbia Switzerland. 45 minutes on the clock. It's Serbia 2, Switzerland 2. It is a magnificent game of football. And that group is changing time and time again. I can't even remember now what that does to it. Serbia were going through if they had stayed in front. And in fact, the live table that I'm looking at hasn't even caught up yet with that Serbia goal. So watch this space and I can bring you up to speed on that. Well, I suppose it would move Switzerland up to 4. Yeah, so they would go back into the driving seat, wouldn't it, to go through in second place behind Brazil. Still goalless there. Looking forward, Hugh, to another venture, another foray into the championship tomorrow for us in our featured games.
Yeah, all very exciting there. Ayr United, they're got home advantage against Raith Rovers. Morton, who have been just terrific under Dougie Imrie. They're at Broth, which will be a difficult one for them. I'm looking at Partick Thistle away at Cove. Again, that would be difficult. But I think Queen's Park ought to have far too much for Hamilton Accies in their game.
Cammy, I know you watch a lot of championship football. What's jumping out for you tomorrow?
Yeah, Queen's Park are flying at the moment and such a good club. The way they've kind of developed their club and moved it forward, new training ground, Leanne Dempster in there, so and obviously Owen Coyle as manager. So it's great to see them doing well. Again, Morton under Dougie Imrie have been absolutely brilliant and he's done such a good job there. Limited resources, but gets the best out of the players that are there, and he's made a few good signings. So I think Morton will be up there at the end of the season. Dougie's got such a good work rate. And that's what he was like as a player, and he's installed that in his team. So big Effie Ambrose was a good sign as well. So I think they'll be up there this season.
I'm looking at Clyde versus FC Edinburgh in League One. Good luck to Jim Duffy tomorrow. But after all the excitement last week of FC Edinburgh losing to Drumchapel, and the everyone coming on here and saying, look, let's be honest, we want to play Celtic or Rangers at Celtic Park or Ibrox. And what did they get? Elgin away.
the luck of the draw. We're talking about Partick Thistle, Hugh. A couple of weeks ago we had so much negativity in the phones, that long losing run, leaking goals for fun. They've steadied the ship. 2-3-0 wins, one in the league, one in the cup. I wonder if going to Cove, as logistically challenging as it can be, is it maybe what the full club needs? You know, games at Firhill at the moment are bringing about protests and banners and all sorts of other distractions, which didn't stop them winning last week, by the way. But just a difficult situation then for everyone.
Always difficult against that kind of backdrop at the club. I read a long piece about the dispute. It doesn't seem to me something that will be ended overnight. It's got a long way to run. But in a purely footballing sense, Cove away will present difficulties. Ian McCall has to keep the winning run going, because there's nothing worse than an internal dispute running concurrently with a team not doing well in the park.
Yeah, again, they're a huge club, Partick Thistle. The start of the season, they had a fantastic start, and then they went off the boil, and everyone was kind of asking questions. Ian McCauley's brought it back, but as Hugh says, it's maybe better that they're away from their home ground at the moment, because of all the noises that are coming from up the stairs and the disputes that are going on. But yeah, there's a couple of, again, Inverness Dundee, that's a cracking game. It's two teams that are kind of pushing for promotion, but it's just an amazing league. It's so, so tight, and I'm sure that all the teams will be, there's normally five or six of them there towards the end of the season then. And if this season, I think it'll be the closest that it'll ever have been.
Yeah, it's looking very tight at the moment. I was quite interested in the fact that this has been brought in quite quickly. You know, we spoke about this earlier in the week briefly, but as of today, really, all of those teams, the teams in League 1 and League 2 as well, although they won't be full time, so it maybe won't have impacted them, but the full time teams who trained today are now under strict guidelines from the Scottish FA that they shouldn't have been heading the ball in training today, Cammy. That's the new guidelines. Shouldn't do it the day before or after a game. Obviously all about player safety. That research from Glasgow Uni, professional footballers 3.5 times more likely to die of brain disease, and it's been brought in. How disruptive would that be to a training schedule, based on your experience?
I would say probably, no disrespect, but the further you drop down the leagues, and the further I drop down the leagues, I noticed that you would do sort of set pieces and stuff, but you would actually be physically challenging set pieces on a Friday. Probably the higher level you played, you'd just walk through them. You wouldn't even put the cross in. You'd just be in positions. So it probably will impact a number of teams in the way they're going to have to train. But listen, this is for the safety of the players, and it's been studied for so long, so we need to use the research that we've gained, and it's for people's safety and health. And whether that means just changing your normal week and you do your set pieces on a Friday, then so be it. That's what we need to do.
We are not medical people, but anything that they do to try and minimise danger is to be applauded. However, 38 league games to be played in the Premiership, and two cups and European matches, and you will not take heading out of football. I think people have come to the agreement that that's not going to happen. So 38 games, over 40 games if you take the cup competitions. I think that there has to be more stringent testing of players on a more regular basis to see if anything's wrong.
Yeah, I guess it's just about minimising the impact just now, isn't it? And I wonder how those teams coped with it today. If they were training, certainly that would be one of the challenges. But as Cammy says, perhaps a small price to pay then for what could be player safety going forward. It's half time in those World Cup games, if you're interested. Brazil and Cameroon is goalless, no such problems. Switzerland, Serbia, it is 2-2 in that game. So as things stand, Brazil would top the group on 7 points, Switzerland would be second on 4, and Cameroon and Serbia would drop out. But I think there's a few more twists and turns to come if those first halves are anything to go by. And of course then that would complete the picture for the knockout stages, which begin tomorrow. And I'm sure from a Scotland perspective, yes, we're like the poor kids that have not been invited to the party, looking in from the outside. But if you want to try and put a kilt on it, as they say, well, Celtic, you'll have interest in the USA game. Will Cameron Carter-Vickers start up against the Netherlands and Australia? How many? Take your pick. Will it be Kai Rowles of Hearts? Will he be having to shackle Lionel Messi. That would be quite a challenge, I'm sure. That's Argentina against Australia tomorrow as well. So lots to look forward to. We are looking forward to the leagues down the divisions as well. And then of course, you, I think by next week, are we really starting to look towards the return of the Premiership? It's under 2 weeks away already.
Yeah.
With Rangers against Hibs,
another week of headlines involving Michael Beale and Ange Postecoglou. Now that he's back in town and Michael Beale is at Auchinhowie, anticipation will grow, speculation will grow, stories will come out about the difference in dynamic involving Rangers, and Kobayashi is in at Lennox Town and he's getting accustomed to the Celtic way of playing football. As the days go by, it's getting like Christmas now. Only 13 more sleeps.
Right, come on then. We're going to try and round off this teaser. I think it'll be tough. 8 Welshmen that have played in the Scottish Premiership this season. You're actually doing quite well because you've got Ash Taylor, Dylan Levitt, Joe Wright, Christian Doige, Rabbi Matondo and Tom Lawrence. 2 to get, both tough. I think you maybe could get one of them.
What part of the country?
Aberdeen he plays for. He used to play for Inverness. Had some spells down south in between. He's a sort of forward thinking, attacking type winger come striker. I can't do much more for you.
Apart from his initials.
Yeah. No.
Yep.
MW. Oh, come on. What do you want? His star sign, shoe size?
Williams.
No.
No.
You just think because he's Welsh.
Yeah.
Nah.
Marley Watkins.
Marley Watkins.
And the last one, let's not waste our time. Morgan Boys of Livy. Sent off at Ibrox, was that?
Yeah.
That was him sent off at Ibrox, wasn't it, earlier this season? There we go. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell, but thank you for listening. Thanks for all those calls, all the tweets. They are much appreciated. And we will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Hugh will be in the studio with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. The top team will be round the grounds as well. So make sure you join us. And up next, it's GBX.